So let's continue with this. We have to understand that Satan is the God of this world. And he murdered Jesus Christ. He murdered Jesus Christ. Remember that. He was an innocent little lamb. He became our Passover lamb. Our Passover. Satan does have a sign that he uses. But first, what sign did God give the world? What sign did God give the world? He gave the world a very interesting sign that we haven't really understood all that much. Back in Moses' time, God gave a sign of things to come. He always gives pictures. He does something physically that'll happen in a spiritual sense. Always. Remember now, the children of Israel, during that 40 years, when they were wandering around out there in the wilderness, it pictured this world today. It pictured this world today. None of the newborn during that 40 years were circumcised. They were uncircumcised, which means they were not of God. And they pictured for 40 years running around out there in this wilderness. And it was really picturing this great harvest, the whole world, who really is uncircumcised at this time and not under God at all. They were an uncircumcised nation or harvest until they came and went over that river Jordan, which pictured the great last day. And then what happened? All of them had to be circumcised. And that's what's going to be happening in the great last day. All mankind will be circumcised. And it is a sign and a token that they are of God. This is God's sign. This is God's sign that he uses. And this is a sign that he gave to those children of Israel way back. Let's turn back to Numbers 21. We know this, but we didn't know it as deep as we should have. Starting in verse 4 of Numbers 21. It says, as they journeyed, this is when they were out there in the wilderness, when they journeyed to Mount Hor, by the way, the Red Sea, and they came to all these different places, the people were much discouraged because of the way. I mean, they're going out there in that wilderness. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. It says, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Remember about that fasting that we just all went through? This bread and water of the world? All of these things tie into this. It says, for there is no bread, neither is there water. And our soul loathes, our soul hates this light bread. That manna that was given. And of course, it's light bread. And who is the bread? Who's the true bread? The light of this world? Jesus Christ. Interesting how he uses all that. So, of course, God heard all this. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. When God says much, he doesn't mean a couple. He means a lot. A lot. Pardon me. He goes on here and he says, wherefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he take away these serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make you a fiery or a brass serpent, and set it upon a pole. It's very important. Don't ever, ever forget this. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. Now, what was the meaning and symbolism of all this? And, in verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, when he looked upon that, he lived. That's a really weird and screwy thing to do, isn't it? From the world standpoint. And guess what our medical profession has to this day? A pole with a snake wrapped around it. Sometimes two. I wonder where they get that from. Right here. Satan, of course, counterfeited the whole thing. Remember, these people were out there as that great harvest, picturing what the world was going to go through without God in their life. They're uncircumcised. Satan was the god of that world, just like it is today. That's what that pictured. Why did God have Moses put this snake up on this pole? And when people looked at it, they suddenly were healed. They didn't die. Well, God was showing very plainly that until that snake is put on that pole, remember, the fiery snakes came first and bit people, and much people, it said, died. So many, many people died. Where was their healing? How come they didn't get to live? Now, all of a sudden, you know, all the people say, hey, we've really sinned here. We've talked about you. And we've talked about God, and this is bad. We talked against you. Now the Father in heaven says, you put this pole up and you put this snake up there. What does that represent? God was showing by this picture, until Satan is killed, until Satan is strung up on the pole, until he's put up there on the tree and he dies, then you are going to be healed. Then you won't have these diseases. Then you won't have this stuff. But until that happened, all those people died. Now, of course, Satan, in his great wisdom of his perverseness, took that same symbol and said, oh, no, 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 no. You see my little children here on this earth? No, no, no. I heal. I heal. I take care of people. And we'll put this pole, we'll put this snake, and we'll have that there. And you can come and worship. You can worship this. The complete opposite of what God was trying to show. And that is, of course, Satan. As my friend says, if you were Satan, how would you do it? And I'll say, exactly. You know, I look around you, that's exactly the way I would do it if I was Satan. Counterfeit. No one can see. No one can understand. And so he uses that today. So God did give a sign there, didn't he? He gave a sign that when you saw that snake on the pole, dead, then I'm going to heal you. Then everything's going to be right. When we get this evil out of the way, things will be right and just. Now, no way, because we have a doctor here in our audience, no way I'm condemning all the doctors in the profession or anything else. I'm just telling you what that is. Most all the doctors, no matter what avenues that they have done, they try to help people. They don't know. They're trying to do the best they can what they have. Overall, some are don't do it so well, and others try to do it better. But, you know, I'm just not downing anybody, but this is a sign that God gave. And we can see that Satan, any profession that we have, is ridiculous in front of God anyway. It's all satanic. One isn't better than the other, you know. You just try to do the best you can with where you found yourself. And if you can help people, please do that. And don't hurt people. So... this sign was a sign of Satan's death. But Satan wanted to counterfeit that. See, it shows everyone would be healed in that last day. And what did man do? Was Satan, of course, running everything? He immediately turned that around, so they worshipped that pole with that snake on it. You know how we know? Because the Bible tells us so. Hey, well, that's in a song, isn't it? Because the Bible tells me so. So, I don't want to get Protestant here. But you can find this. I don't have the time to really read this, but back in 2 Kings. 2 Kings 18, verses 1 through 4. And you read that, and when this new king of Israel or Judah, whoever it was, came along, he tried to get rid of all the bad things that had cropped up there in Israel. And it says in verse 4, well, it describes earlier that they still had this pole with this snake on it that Moses had made. And they were giving incense to it and burning incense in front of it. And they were worshiping this thing along with all the other pagan gods. That would be Satan's way. And in verse 4, it tells you that finally he took it and broke it into pieces. Because it wasn't of God, and it shouldn't have been used of God that way at all. Now it's interesting. Now this sets this up to what is coming. You know, God has his law, and he always does it by his law. Turn to Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. He states in here the way to do this. He already showed you what he's going to do with Satan. And certainly that's a symbolic thing, but it still is there because he's going to throw him in the lake of fire. But we don't know how he's going to be standing there at that judgment. Maybe he'll be hanging up on a pole. We don't know. But he's going to end up in the lake of fire. That we do know. Deuteronomy 21, verse 22. This is in God's law. And he says, "And if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and you hang him on a tree." So you're going to kill this person. Hang him on a tree. There's other times that you stone a person. It says, "His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed." Is accursed. Or there's a curse of God on him. "That your land be not defiled, which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance." And that's why the Jewish nation today, the Israeli nation, still, they don't let people hang around. You die, you get buried. That's the way it's done. It comes from, you know, God's law way back. They don't always know how to interpret it, but they're still trying to keep those physical things. So, when you are of sin, when you are of this, you hang on a tree. What did Satan do to Christ? What did Satan do to Christ? You know, it was Satan who murdered Christ. We get this all mixed up. You know, there's that word where it says that Christ was crucified for us. Wait a minute. You know, you start to think of crucified, or he was a sacrifice for us. We start to think that it is, this was God's wonderful little thing that he set up, and he had some kind of like magical altar there. Christ's body was put on it, and all. No! Wasn't that at all. Sacrifice just means to kill. Christ was killed. Now, God accepted that. But he was killed. He was murdered. Satan was a murderer from the beginning, it says. And that's what was in him. And what murder? He murdered all of us. He murdered all the people. But what was the one that really counted? The very Son of God. the one that had God's Holy Spirit within him, the first one. And Acts 5, it's very important that we get this in our mind, that Satan murdered him. And he hung him on a tree as if he was this big sinner. And he wasn't. Acts 5, verse 30. I think Peter and some of the apostles had gotten themselves into some problems because they were preaching the gospel, of course. And they accused. And he went back, and it says in verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." Now, Satan did that. And he used these people, of course, to do it. Yeah, he hung them on a tree. Verse 39, "But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it." I think that's the wrong one. Well, anyway, I'm getting the point is being made that Satan put him on that tree. Okay. Galatians 3. I know I'm giving you a little Bible burn here, but that's okay. Galatians 3, verse 13. It says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangs on a tree." Why did Satan do this? Why did Satan do all of this? Remember, this is his world, it's his religions, it's his governments. Well, because God already showed Satan hanging on a tree. He showed Satan hanging on a tree, dead. He didn't like it. So what does Satan do? Counterfeit. What's a counterfeit? You know, you can buy gym shoes, and there's these knockoffs, these counterfeits. And it made, Nike might make a shoe, and then they charge you $150, which you would have to be a pretty big bonehead to pay that for a pair of sneakers, but that's my opinion. Anyway, if you'd like those, and you're going to keep them for a whole bunch of years, then go buy that. But, they make them for very inexpensive things. But they have all the advertising. They're paying hundreds of millions of dollars to advertise their product. Where somebody else comes along, makes it in a little garage someplace, no advertisement, looks like the same thing, and charges the same price. No overhead. Counterfeit. Duplicate. It's hard to tell them apart. The average person can't. The police can. Because somebody's gone through that and wrote up all those articles. Then they know what to look for. But see, Satan has this counterfeit. This religion. So if he was hanging on a tree, guess what? Why don't we put the very Son of God hanging on a tree? Why don't we do that? This is my world. We're going to do it my way. That's Satan's attitude. You know, remember that 6,000 years ago, Satan, the very God of this world, started all of his religions. And he has hundreds, probably thousands of different religions out there. Now get this concept, it's very important. Look at China. Look at China. They still worship the red dragon. And the red dragon is painted on all their things. It's on flags, it's on everything. They like it. They don't even see that they're worshiping Satan. A whole nation, billions of people, right out in the open. That's how blinded he has those nations. Look at India. They worship cows and rats and bats and mice. They go as far as to drink cow urine and think that's holy. And if you were to hurt a cow, people would jump on you all over the streets and kill you. Those are gods. Now how stupid and how pathetic is that? Well, it comes from that same stupid, pathetic, dumb mind of Satan. But he's in control here. And there's another nation, a nation surrounding it with all kinds of other ridiculous religions out in the open, where anyone from the Western world looks at it and goes, wow, are you nuts? Are you insane to do that? But what are they doing? Well, we'll get to that. It's all done in the open. This is his world, his religions. He's the God. He transforms himself into many, many different things. Look at Japan and Asia. Same stuff. Little different variations, very openly. Bowing down to idols. Russia. There he's got him so confused, there's no God at all. There's nothing there except self. And you can see what's happening now with Russia. But then, see, that was 6,000 years ago he began all this stuff. But then, about 2,000 years ago, all of a sudden Christ came, and Christ started his church, the Father's church. Uh-oh, we have a problem here in Satan's world. He had pretty free reign. Now all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, starts the Father's church with God's Spirit. Oh my, you know, how is Satan going to contend with this? Satan needed to start a counterfeit church, didn't he? He had the rest of the world. Obviously, he still has it now. And although he had all of the world, God's church started. So immediately now, Satan has to begin a counterfeit. He has to. You know, it must look exactly like the real thing. But it's totally opposite. But it has to look like the same thing. See, in Christ's church there is righteousness. But he had to make it look and appear like there was righteousness in all of his so-called Christian churches that he started. Now, what sign would he use? What sign would he use? What banner would he use for his church? Satan's sign is the cross. The cross. It's interesting. You know, he had used the sign of the cross for many, many, many thousands of years in all of his pagan religions. For like 4,000 years, you can go back. And the sign of the cross is in that. But the sign of the cross wasn't something holy, wasn't something good. Oh no. No, the sign of the cross in his pagan religions was a sign of fertility. It actually showed the male and female organs together. That's what it did. Everything was always based on that. And people don't realize that. And all the symbols that they use today are foul and wretched and comes right from the deceived mind of Satan. But it's always covered so you can't understand what it is, what it really represents. Everything that Satan does is totally opposed to God. God showed him, Satan, on a pole. He turned it right around and showed Christ on a pole. Oh, no, 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 I'm not the one that's guilty. Christ is the one that's sinful. Christ is the one. Take him, put him on the pole. Those are the people you put on the pole. So 2,000 years ago, Satan created a new religion. He leaves all the rest of them out there, but now he needs a counterfeit. A new religion under the sign of the cross and called it a church. The church, the word church, is only applied to the Christian religion. So he's right in there. He's doing it. You know, Paul warned of this back in, don't have time to read it again. I was going to read a little bit further with this. Back in the 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. He says there's another spirit and there's another gospel already being preached within the church. He goes on to say that. Then in verses 13 and 15, and we read part of that before, you know, that Satan is transformed into this angel of light and he has all of his ministers there. It's another gospel. The sign of the cross has another meaning. And it has other meanings, rather, that I don't really have time to go in for them right now. But that has some other meanings also. But we're focusing right now on something that everyone's going to be able to see very plainly. This is that sign of the cross. We're looking into Satan's church only with this and what he has done and his mind behind this. In his world, in his counterfeit religion, you know, what does all this mean? What does that cross really mean? This sign of the cross is death. That's what it means. It doesn't mean life at all. It means death. When you see a cross, you better see death. It has nothing to do with life. His world thinks it's life. They look at the cross and go, "Oh, this is life! God, you know, Christ died on that." But then it was gone. Let that alone. God had nothing to do with a stake or a pole, or even if it was a cross, doesn't matter. They kill people all those different ways back then. It was death. And he's worked it around so much that people think that the cross means life. It's death. It's a place of death. That's what that symbol is. But it's all concealed in a counterfeit. It means and shows death. You know, Satan is death, the scriptures say. And he holds mankind in bondage of that death their whole lifetime. We read that scripture. And that's what this symbol is. And people don't know it. And even people in the church, we kind of looked at, well, yeah, but we don't want to use that because that's kind of like Protestant or Catholic. So we don't want to use the sign of the cross or anything. Well, we don't want to use the sign of the cross. It means death in this world. Why does Satan use the cross and set up everything that way in his counterfeit? Why? For one reason. To mock God. He mocks God with this sign of death. This is his world. This is his world of death. And that's his sign, at least in the Christian community. Now understand this. Look at this when you drive home today. In the pagan worship, that steeple on every one of those churches, it's a phallic symbol. It's the male organ. That's what that is. Fertility. That's what that represents. Now the people who made that on the church, they don't understand that. Well, they're not in charge. Satan is. He placed that upright, pointing right to God's throne in heaven, didn't he? But what does God see when he looks down on that? He knows Satan's mind. He knows what Satan is thinking. What does God see? You know what God sees when he looks down on that? He sees something that is uncircumcised. This is not his. He sees death. That's what God sees. And guess what? What's placed right on top of that big steeple there? What all that represents, which I just went through? Oh, they got the cross right on the end of it, don't they? Death. You know what it pictures? We didn't understand this. Satan knew it. Satan understood it. That's why he's got all these symbols out there. That cross, that death, right on the end of that steeple. You know what it shows? It shows death. It shows an uncircumcised foreskin. Death. That's what that foreskin means. The foreskin is still on. You are not of God. When you are of God, you are circumcised. And there he's got death right on the end of that thing, doesn't he? And guess what? Nobody knows about it. And they all go in and worship. They all worship to Satan. And they all worship to the God of this world. It is really pathetic when you think about this. And it's shocking. It is in total rebellion to God. The cross, it is a symbol of death. It's the only thing that happened with this cross is death. It's the murder of Christ. And Satan is reveling in that fact that he killed the Son of God. We are saved by his life. Not by his death. The cross is that logo, that banner, that sign of all Christianity. Look at all the graves. Look at all of the cemeteries out there. Guess what's on all these graves and headstones? Ooh, sign of the cross. Yeah, they're of Satan's world. And death killed them. This is the product of this world and of this God of this world. They're killed by death. And they're so proud of it, they put that little cross there. I want to remind everyone, we've been killed by Satan, and we're happy about it. That's how confused we are. It's the very fruit of Satan's spirit. What about the little cross? What about wearing that little crucifix around your neck? All they're saying is that we are subject to Satan and that death. And we worship. We absolutely worship the murderer of Jesus Christ. That's shocking, isn't it? So what is happening with our old organization worldwide? They're all running around wearing crosses now. You don't think that they are blind, miserable, and naked? Yeah. See, if God backs off a little bit, look what Satan does. Now, hopefully they're still first fruits. I mean, if they were first fruits, they still are first fruits. And they'll be used a little bit later in other things. And, of course, the cross, this church steeple, it's undercover. It's under this cover of death. It's got the cross up there. It's under that cover of that foreskin, that uncircumcised thing. And he's telling God through that religion, we're not part of you. We don't want to be part of you. We're going to worship the God of this world. That cross is really like Satan's altar for Christ's killing and murder, isn't it? It's not something I want to remember. A pole or a stake or a cross. I don't remember that. I do want to remember we're saved by his life, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Satan throws that in as a little token, too, in his little religions. But it's meaning, it's just meaningless. People don't understand it. They don't have God's spirit. Satan did all of this to mock God. The poor people, all the children of disobedience. They're all blinded. They're all ignorant of the fact. God winks at that. He loves all of them. But Satan's got them out there running around doing what he wants. That's how deep this is. That's how much Satan hates God. It's the very church of Satan. It's the very church of Satan. Satan is the god of all of those churches. The cross is Satan's world. The cross in Satan's world means death and murder. That's what that means. That's what that pictures. Remember when they get baptized in a lot of these different religions there, they take the little baby and they get them in there and they get the holy water, whatever, and they make a little sign of the cross right over their foreheads. Don't they? You know what they're doing? They're baptizing that little child right into death. His world, his way. And we don't hate these people. We love these people. We love Catholics and Protestants and everyone else. They're people. We came out of the same baloney. We're just happy that we understand it and look forward to teaching the right way. And all of our brethren out there in the great harvest, they'll come through too. And they'll be with us. And that's going to be a wonderful time. But look what Satan has done. Look what he has done in all of this. It really is something. I don't have the time to read the whole thing. One of our members here gave me this. And this is, we've always heard this about the Catholic Church going through, and maybe I can send this out, just write in for this. If you write in, I'll mail it to you. Otherwise, I'll forget to do it. But this is called a candid admission. And it's from a very high up in the Catholic Church. And he goes on to say, listen, he says, the Bible plainly says to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's the day God says to do it. But he says, we don't do it that way. He says, it was the Holy Catholic Church that changed the day of rest from Saturday to Sunday, this first day of the week. And is not only compelled all to keep Sunday, but at the Council of Laodicea, AD 364, they told everyone that you could not, you know, you had to work on the Sabbath, you had to do all of that. They changed it to Sunday. And he says here, he says, which church does the whole civilized world obey? Protestants call us every horrible name they can think of. Antichrist, the scarlet-colored beast, Babylon, etc. And at the same time profess great reverence for the Bible. And yet, by their solemn act of keeping Sunday, they acknowledge the power of the Catholic Church. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But the Catholic Church says, no, keep the first day of the week. And the whole world bows in obedience. That's from a high up person in the Catholic Church. He sees it for what it is. And he sees that. And they are the authority because Satan really had that going, even counterfeiting it with Simon Magus, the first Peter. See? Because Peter was the chief apostle. Otherwise, it would be maybe like Paul, the Magnus, you know, all this. It's Peter. Peter. You know, this cross means death, not life. When you think about that, it's all death. And what about the Trinity? So let's say this very quickly. What about this Trinity? No one else knows this. It's supposed to be the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, not in Satan's world. They are the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. There's your Trinity. The three being one, because they're all Satan, aren't they? That's where they get all this junk. This is this great mystery that no one out there in the Catholic world and the other ones can even in the Christian world, they can't explain it. They say it's a mystery. Well, of course, if you told them what the mystery was, they'd know it's Satan, and they know they'd be worshiping Satan. They say that you will go nuts trying to figure out all of this. You know, and they're absolutely right. They are already insane, aren't they? This world is insane. It is Satan's world. If you do not have the series of circumcision and cycles, please write in the Church Outreach Program, P.O. Box 6111, Elgin, Illinois. Zip is 60121. Please send into that, because then you'll see it through God's eyes how he sees the uncircumcised. When you drive down the streets now, next time, going home from church, look at all of the churches. They are all exposed there. We have totally exposed Satan and his churches for what it really means and the defiance of what Satan has done in those churches. All the churches, all the cemeteries, all death. This comes, it all comes from a reprobate mind, doesn't it? Who else would set something up like this? You read that in Romans, the first chapter, the whole thing is all about Satan, all about those demons turned over to a reprobate mind, and they've done a counterfeit, haven't they, on everyone. Just look and see how exposed Satan really is when you do have the true plan of salvation. Look how exposed he is. He's everywhere. We stand with God and Christ against Satan. That's what we've learned from the fast, haven't we? Let's see Satan as he really is and really learn to hate evil, because that's what God tells us to do. So, brethren, think about this. When you drive around, look around and see his society. Look at that. The very sign that he gives is the sign of death. And that's what is running this whole thing. It's an uncircumcised religion. And Satan is the head of it. And he is going to die. And we can be thankful for that. So we're all very thankful to be back from the feast. And we enjoyed it thoroughly. We have a lot of other subjects to go through this year, and I'm looking forward to bringing them to you. So I think we'll close services then, and again, we pass our regards to all the churches out there that are with us, and we enjoy having you there and feeding you. So until next time, we'll say goodbye.